Well, thank you. This morning is with us the Camille's father. His name is Carlos, and he's from Puerto Rico. Maybe some of you know him. And I'm glad because he's working in Honduras. You said that you have a mission trip in February, and you were there many times. So that's amazing, the work that you are doing there. And this morning, George, my friend George Jorge Rivera, is going to share his testimony, and my brother Carlos is going to translate for him.
Hola, pues soy Jorge Rivera.
Hello, my name is Jorge Rivera.
Gracias a Dios nací en un hogar cristiano.
Thank to God I was born in a Christian place.
Pero no nací siendo cristiano.
But I wasn't born a Christian.
Pero mi niñez Dios lo utilizó para irme llamando a él.
His childhood, God used it to call him to him.
Conocí acerca de Jesús a través de una actividad evangelística de la iglesia.
He knew about Jesus through an evangelistic ministry that the church had.
Íbamos a salir un domingo a repartir folletos.
So they were going out Sunday to distribute tracts.
Y antes de salir, lo leí.
And before leaving to hand them out, he decided to read one.
Y me di cuenta de que como pecador yo estaba destituido de la gloria de Dios.
And he realized that as a sinner he was outside of God's kingdom.
Que no hay justo ni aun uno.
There's no one just, not even one.
No hay quien busque a Dios y no hay quien lo entienda.
Nobody that looks for God or can understand him.
Entonces esa palabra por cuanto todos pecaron.
So that word that talks about that everybody sin.
Ahí me encontraba yo también.
That's where he found himself also.
Ni por ir a la iglesia cuando era niño me hacía salvo de ser pecado.
Even going to church when he was little saved him from sin.
Entonces fue ahí donde a través de varios pasajes que venían en el folleto Dios me fue hablando.
So through several scriptures that were in part of that tract, God started talking to him.
Hasta que llegó a un pasaje que decía, por gracia eres salvo.
Until he reached the passage that said, by grace you are saved.
Y eso no te toca a ti, pues es un regalo de Dios.
And that's not something that you can earn. It's a gift from God.
Entonces fue ahí donde yo dije, bueno, Cristo murió para salvarme y para tener una comunión con Él.
So then he understood that Christ died for him to be saved and for him to be able to be in communion with him.
Entonces empecé a tener muchas preguntas acerca de Dios.
So he started having a lot of questions about God.
¿Quién hizo a Dios o por qué nos creó Dios?
Who made God or why did God made us?
Entonces fui con mi pastor para hablar con él.
Then he went to his pastor to talk to him.
Entonces si ustedes tienen dudas, vayan con su pastor.
So he says, if you have doubts, go talk to your pastor.
Entonces platiqué con el pastor y le pregunté acerca de todas estas cosas.
So he talked to his pastor and talked about all these things that he had in his head.
Él fue muy paciente conmigo y trató de contestar cada una de ellas.
He was very patient with him and tried to answer all his questions.
Pero aún así yo sentí un deseo profundo por conocer más de Dios.
But even so, he had this hunger for knowing more about God.
Y quería compartir acerca de esa hermosa salvación a todos los demás.
He wanted to share about this wonderful salvation with everybody.
Incluso con mis compañeros de la escuela.
Even with his friends at school.
Con mis maestros.
With his teachers.
Pero ellos debían saber que eran pecadores y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios.
But he had to tell them that they were sinners and they were not part of the kingdom of God.
Entonces dediqué casi toda, pues, mi niñez a estudiar la palabra de Dios.
So he's dedicated his childhood to studying the word of God.
Y saber que el fin principal por el cual yo fui hecho fue para conocer y gozar de Dios.
And he learned that the purpose of him being created was to know and enjoy the company of God.
Y aunque nunca voy a conocerlo completamente,
he won't know him fully here in this earth.
Quiero dedicar mi vida para conocer lo poco que puedo.
So he has dedicated his life to know as much as he can.
Entonces, desde los 12 años quise prepararme para servir al Señor.
So since he was 12, he started to getting prepared to serve the Lord.
Pero pues no podía porque era muy joven.
But he couldn't do as much as he wanted to because he was too young.
Mi papá me dijo que si en verdad era un llamado de Dios, dejara pasar varios años hasta que fuera el momento.
So his father told him, well, it's really a call from God. Let a few years pass and the moment will come when you're ready.
Entonces me dediqué a orar, a Dios.
So he spent a lot of time praying for that moment and to come.
Y a conocer lo más que pudiera de él.
And to know as much as he could about him.
Y fue a los 18 años donde ya podía escoger si entrar a una universidad o entrar a un seminario.
So when he was 18 years old, he was able to choose between going to college or going to a seminary.
Entonces elegí el seminario.
So he chose to go to a seminary.
Mi hermana se encontraba estudiando en Río Grande, que es donde estudiamos Josué y yo.
His sister was studying at Río Grande, where Josué and Jorge are studying right now.
Entonces fue por ella que conocí el seminario.
So that's how he learned about the seminary.
Entonces mi papá me dijo, si Dios de verdad te llamó, entonces haz tú el papeleo y el trámite para la visa.
So his father said, you know, if God's really calling you, do all the paperwork and the things for the visa and so forth.
Entonces empecé a tramitar la visa, a llamar a la escuela y todo eso.
So he started doing all the things for to get in the visa and contacting the school and so forth.
Y el día de mi entrevista con la embajada,
and on the day for his interview with the embassy,
para mí era muy importante porque ahí iba a confirmar si Dios verdaderamente quería que me preparara.
So that was for him very important as a confirmation that God was really calling him to do this.
La embajada de Estados Unidos queda 6 horas de mi casa.
The U.S. embassy is 6 hours from his house.
Y al llegar a la embajada me di cuenta que no traía los papeles.
So when he got to the embassy, he realized that he had forgot his papers.
Entonces, pues entré así con la ayuda de Dios a la entrevista.
So he went in with God's help to the interview.
Y gracias a Dios, pues no me pidieron ningún papel.
And God made a miracle and they didn't ask for any papers.
Entonces me autorizaron la visa.
So they authorized his visa.
Y me la dieron 3 horas después.
And he got it 3 hours later.
Y hasta la fecha, pues me encuentro estudiando en el seminario por gracia de Dios.
And up to this point, he's studying in the seminary because of God's grace.
Y ese tiempo ha sido el tiempo que Dios ha sacado lo peor de mí.
In this time, God has taken anything bad out of him.
Y me está mostrando la necesidad que tengo día a día de él.
He's showing him how much he needs God every day.
Y no importa cuán pecadores somos, Él siempre está ahí para mostrarnos su amor y gracia.
No matter how much we sin, He's always there to show us His grace and how much we need Him.
No hay otra cosa para la cual fuimos creados, sino para gozar y deleitarnos en nuestro Dios.
We were not created for any other thing but to rejoice and enjoy the company of God.
Porque tenemos un vacío tamaño Dios que solamente Él puede llenar.
Because we have a hole in us that's exactly the shape of God and only He can fill.
Por eso aquello que usted hace que no es de agrado a Dios.
That's why anything you do that doesn't please God.
Cristo murió por ello.
Christ died for that.
Para que pudiéramos reconciliarnos con Él.
So we can be reconciled with Him.
Y disfrutar de Él por toda la eternidad.
And enjoy Him for all eternity.
Uno de los mandamientos que anhelo escuchar cuando muera.
One of the commandments he wants to hear when he dies.
Es entra en el gozo de tu Señor.
Enter the joy of the Lord.
Y espero que también sea el deseo de ustedes.
And he wishes that that's also your wish.
Disfruten y gocen del hermoso regalo de la salvación que tenemos.
Enjoy this beautiful gift we have of salvation.
Porque no estamos aquí para otra cosa.
Because we're not here for anything else.
Que Dios los bendiga.
God bless you.
Thank you, Carlos and George. Well, I'm grateful again to God for the opportunity to share His Word. And it will always be a challenge and a great responsibility to speak about the truth of God. And that is why before we begin, we're going to ask the Lord for His Holy Spirit to speak to us through His Word this morning. So let's pray. Father, thank You for this moment, this place, where Your children gather to worship Your name. We ask that Your Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. There are things in our lives that do not please You, and we cannot see or understand them. That's why we come before You all the time. But this morning especially, we ask You to speak to us, because we are all gathered and attentive to what You have to teach us. Help us, Lord, so that we do not despise Your Word, but rather value it as the most precious treasure, because Your Word is life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today, we will talk about the grace of God, who gave His precious Son for love He has toward to His children. Let's open our Bibles in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. In this portion of the scripture, we find what is known as the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus often used parables to illustrate deep and divine truths. On one occasion, Jesus taught a parable without His interpretation. Then Jesus took His disciple away from the crowd. And in Matthew 13 says, "Then the disciples came and said to Him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And He answered to them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they not see, hearing they not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. In their eyes they have closed." From this moment, when Jesus spoke in parables, He explained the parables only to His disciples. But those who had continually rejected His message were left in their spiritual blindness to wonder about its meaning. O Lord Jesus understood that truth is not sweet music to all ears, simply because there are those who have neither interest nor respect for the deep things of God. So the question is, why then did He speak in parables? Because for those with a genuine hunger for God, the parable is effective and memorable for teaching, for the teaching to the divine truths. But for those who have a hard heart and are slow to hear, a parable is also a statement of judgment. This was the case of the Pharisees, who were the receivers of this parable of the prodigal son. The Pharisees and interpreters of law are to whom this parable is principally addressed. Our text for today is Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 through 32. So let's see verse 11. Verse 11 says, and he said, so that word and, then there's something important in that happened before, which is connected with this parable. In chapter 14, Jesus entered to eat at the home of some of the main Pharisees on a Sabbath. And the text says that the Pharisees were watching him carefully. And a sick man stood before Jesus, and Jesus healed him that Sabbath. And then he said to the Pharisees, "Whose one of you, if you drop a son or an ox in a pit on a Sabbath day, will not you take it out immediately?" And the Pharisees and interpreters of law could not answer this. Let's see what Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Then, in response to the murmurings, Jesus taught a parable about the shepherd who left 99 sheep and went looking for a single sheep that was lost and was very glad when he found it. He then taught another parable about a woman who rejoices after one of her 10 coins was lost and she found it. The Lord interprets both parables and says, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." As you see, the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear him. They were ready to learn upon the word of God. But in the other hand, the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man received sinners and eats with them. They were slow to hear. After this context is when we get to our text. Verse 11 says, Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons." As we learn, Jesus was heard by tax collectors and sinners, but he was also criticized by Pharisees and interpreters of law. And with response to them with these two parables that we saw. And to these two parables, Jesus adds this other. This story is about three characters: the father, the older son, and the younger son. And this story, the younger son asks his father to give him his inheritance. He received the inheritance and went to a distant country where he wasted everything. Then came a great famine in that country, and the younger son was in need. He found a job to feed pigs. And certain day, he was starving and wanted to eat the food of those animals, but nobody gave him. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' He arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am not longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And then, and they began to celebrate. The older son was in the field, and when he came home, he heard music and dancing. Verse 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friend. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This parable that Jesus taught to tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees, interpreters of law, at the beginning of the story, the younger son asked for the goods of his inheritance to his father. But usually, the inheritance is given to the son only after the father has died. For this reason, we could say that the younger son desires his father's death to receive the material good. The younger son was interested in his father only for what he could offer him financially. Proof of this is that the younger son, once received his share of the inheritance, he went to a country far away from his father. For the younger son was not enough the love of his father and all the possessions. He decided to go to a far country. When our lives do not make sense, we think that the place where we live is not enough for us. But the reality is that the problem is not in the city where we live. The problem is within us. A person without Christ will never find a place where he feels fully satisfied. But for the one who is in Christ, the place where he was born or where he lives, it is the place where God has placed him, and there he will glorify his name. The younger son spent all he had on pleasures of the flesh, and suddenly he saw himself wanting to eat the food of the pigs. For him, those animals had more privilege than him. Then he humbled himself and made an elaborate speech where he acknowledged his fault and asked for mercy, not to be restored as a son, but to be only a servant of his father. And this is the attitude of a genuine repentance that has the person that surrendered completely to Christ, and no matter what his past has been. Because for the one who is in Christ, the old things have passed away and all things are new. This reminds me of the example of Apostle Paul, who persecuted the Christians until Jesus confronts him, and Paul changes radically and surrenders completely, saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" This is a genuine conversion. Evidence of this is that God uses Paul to write 13 of the books that we have in the New Testament. Now, when the younger son was on his way home, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Then the younger son began to recite the discourse of repentance that had prepared, but it was not necessary. He already had been pardoned. The discourse of the younger son was interrupted by the father with instruction to his servants because his son was dead and has returned to life, was lost and has been found, and began to celebrate. The younger son does not deserve the mercy of his father, but the love of the father makes him give grace to his son. The younger son deserves the punishment of his father, but instead restored him as his son and again granted him the right to receive the inheritance of his goods. We deserve the wrath of God because we sin against him. But through Christ we receive an eternal inheritance in heaven, as we read in Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We are called children of God by his grace. We can talk to him and say, Father, by his wonderful grace. John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, the older son realizes that his brother has returned and his father has organized a celebration. This made him angry in such a way that he did not want to go home and celebrate his brother's return. His father entreated him to come in, but he claimed that it was unfair that after he had always been obedient, he would not have received a young goat to rejoice with his friends. But he said, when this son of yours came, who spends your goods with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf. The claim of the older son reveals where his heart was. All those years he had been with his father for the same reason as the younger son was at the beginning of the story. The older son had been with his father for the benefit he could receive from him and not for genuine love for his father. The older son did not look upon the younger son as his brother, because when he speaks to his father, he says to him, this son of yours, instead my brother. For the older son, his brother was a threat, because he would have to share his father's goods with him. But his father's response was compassionate, and once again, the father invited his older son to enter home and rejoice at the return of his brother. The father said, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. We do not know what the response of the older son was to the call of his father to enter home and be part of the celebration. We would like to think that the older son came to understanding and agreed to the words of his father. The story is unfinished. And the Pharisees who listened to the story were maybe waiting to know what is the older brother's decision. But the point here is that they are the older brother, and they need to receive the grace of God through the man that is teaching to them, Jesus Christ. Tax collectors and sinners could identify with the younger son. They had done everything wrong, and now they know that Jesus received them just as they are if they confess their sin and repent. The Pharisees and interpreters of law could identify with the older son. They have always obeyed, always kept the law, fasted, offered and prayed, but had no compassion for the younger brother. The younger brother decided to leave home. He squandered his property on reckless living. It was older brother's responsibility to go and look for the younger brother to bring him home, but it was not so. We were lost in our sin like the younger brother. But we have an older brother who is perfect, and he has decided to give up his own life to rescue us from death. He's the Son of God. Our older brother is Jesus, by whom we can call God our Father. We're going to pray. You are God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. But we can also call you with reverence our Father. Thank you, God, for giving us life through Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that through what we have learned today, your Holy Spirit will bring conviction to our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.